We are still working our way through a series entitled Hello, Hello, When God Calls Your Name Twice, looking at times when God encountered people and got their attention by saying the name twice because they were in an important situation where they needed to listen to God's voice. And today we're looking at an incident in the life of the Apostle Peter when he needed to listen to the voice of the Lord because he was heading for a fall. I don't know if you saw this story online this week. A number of years ago, back in the 1980s, 1990s, the American comedian Roseanne Barr used to have a TV show called Roseanne, and it was a very successful television show, ran for a number of years, finished in 1997, won many awards as a kind of an American sitcom. And there was, when it finished in 1997, people were disappointed, those who had followed it. And then there was great interest in the American public when it was said that they're going to bring it back again this year. And so on March the 27th this year, they rebooted the series, and it got the biggest audience for a TV comedy in the last 4 years. And such was the impression that it made. President Trump, who Roseanne supports, phoned her to congratulate her on her ratings and even mentioned her ratings in one of his presidential speeches. So everything was looking really good for this reboot of an old series. And just 3 days after that first episode of the new series was broadcast, ABC said, "Ratings are just so good, we are going to give you a second series. No question whatsoever. This is just so good. This is gold dust." Well, 12 days ago, on May the 29th, Roseanne was cancelled because she made a racist remark on Twitter against a former White House advisor, Valerie Jarrett. And such was the public disgust for what she wrote that within 3 hours of her posting the tweet online, ABC had cancelled her second series and loads of cable companies stopped showing reruns of her original series. Something had been going so well until within just 3 hours, it all crumbled, all because of 12 words posted on Twitter. Roseanne is not the only one in the public eye to make a massive error of judgment, and I'm sure she won't be the last one to do that. And probably all of us can recall at least one occasion in our life where we did something or said something that afterwards we would consider of being foolish. It wasn't a wise thing that we did. We made an error of judgment. And as a result, maybe we lost people's respect, or maybe we lost a friendship with somebody over it, or maybe even we lost our job over what we did. If you look in the Bible, it's full of stories of people who made big mistakes that had significant repercussions. Think at the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they ate something they were told they shouldn't eat, which led to them being evicted from their home and brought sin into the world. Moses misrepresented God by striking the rock. He was told to speak to it, but he struck it. And as a result, having led the children of Israel through the wilderness for over 38 years, God then said, "You can't go in the promised land because you made an error of judgment at that moment." Perhaps it's even more serious. It was a sin rather than just a bad decision. David, King David, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and that led to him becoming a murderer of Bathsheba's husband, and ultimately he lost his political power. And in the story we're looking at today, Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, made a huge error of judgment by saying that he did not know Jesus. And he didn't just do it once, he did it three times. Even though Jesus had spoken to him personally beforehand to warn him that he was heading for a fall. And he did that within the context of the Last Supper. You remember that Jesus said, while he was having the Last Supper, he said that one of you will betray me. And they all looked around. They didn't know which one it would be. And we all know that was Judas Iscariot. But then once Judas had left the room, Jesus then said to all of his disciples, all the 11 remaining ones, "All of you will betray me because all of you will run away." This is how Mark's gospel puts that. This is Mark 14:27. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. All the disciples loved Jesus. They could not see that they would ever choose to want to deny him or run away. And Peter could not accept that he would even deny Jesus once, let alone three times. And so he insists emphatically, or other versions say vehemently, he said, this will not happen. And Luke uses that same word when he records Jesus' parable about the wise and foolish builders. And he speaks about the wise and foolish builders building one on rock and one on sand, and then the storms, the sea, the water rages up and beats against the walls of the houses, eventually causing the one built on sand to crumble. That word, he talks about it vehemently beating. That's the same word that's being used here. It's the same kind of word that Jesus talks about. It's recorded in Luke 23 when Jesus has been arrested and all the scribes and religious leaders are all shouting accusations at Jesus. They're beating him, trying to make him crumble. That's the same word that's been used here. That Peter insisted emphatically, no, Jesus, no, Jesus, this is not right. I do not accept what you're saying. Beat him, beat him, beat him with his words, refusing to listen. But Peter was generally a very good listener. For example, when Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John to leave the nets in Luke 5:11, it says they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed him. He was a good listener. He listened to what Jesus said. He received the call and he did what he was asked to do. He responded correctly. When he was called with the other 11 disciples to come out of the crowd of disciples and become the chosen ones of Jesus to be designated as apostles, it says in Luke 6, he chose 12 of them whom he designated apostles, and Peter didn't stay in the crowd and said, oh, I'm not listening. No, he came out of the crowd. He listened to what Jesus was saying. He responded correctly. When he was sent out, when the disciples were sent out two by two, he partnered up with somebody else, one of the other 12, and they went out, as Jesus had said, go out into all the towns and preach the good news. Well, Peter went. He listened to what Jesus said. He responded correctly. He was a good listener. When Jesus was feeding the 5,000 or plus people, he then said to all of the disciples, including Peter, I want you to go and collect up, or first of all, give out. Before you collect up, you have to give out. Give out the fish and give out the bread, and then go and collect up the crumbs. Well, the scripture says that Peter listened to what Jesus said, responded, and it all happened. He was a good listener. Another one, when Jesus took him together with James and John into the home of Jairus' daughter and also up the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus said, come with me. He did. He listened to what Jesus said and responded correctly. Tick on all of these. He was a good listener. One more. When Jesus was walking on the water, it says in Matthew 14 that Peter said, if it is you, Lord, call me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got out the boat and he walked on the water. He responded to what Jesus said. He listened. Tick, 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 tick. Peter was a good listener. On one occasion, do you remember this occasion when Jesus said, who do people say that I am? It was Peter who almost sort of put his hand up, or he jumped up and he said in Matthew 16 that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was just filled with joy at Peter's declaration. So he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, because the word Peter means rock, and I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is just fantastic. Peter has tuned in to the voice of God, and he's declared it vocally. Peter, very good listener, except when Jesus is talking about his suffering. And when Jesus talks about the fact he's going to suffer, Peter will have none of it. He does not listen from the point of view of doing anything that Jesus is saying. He shuts off and just wants to say to Jesus, this must not happen. No doubt motivated by love, but still it was an act of not listening to Jesus. So having announced who Jesus is, just a few verses later, he denounces what Jesus says. In Matthew 16:21, just two verses later. Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. This is a disciple rebuking the Son of God. Out of love, yes, but he didn't want to hear what Jesus was saying. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Not so good. It's never a good day when Jesus says to you, get behind me, Satan. That's not a good day at the office for Peter there. That's not a good experience. Satan was allowed to work through him to bring the voice. He'd only recently said that you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, this is the Father speaking through you. And within just a short period of time, perhaps relatively speaking, we don't know how long there was between them. But then Peter was the agent for Satan's voice. When you stop listening to what Jesus says, you start opening the door to other voices. The enemy is at the doorstep. And he'll be well pleased if we could become an agent of his words. As Jesus would be well pleased if we become an agent of his. Jesus came, however, to destroy the works of the evil one. It says that in 1 John 3:8, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. The devil has been sinning from the beginning, but the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. We can be encouraged by this to be able to know that when we face an enemy attack, we can be encouraged that Jesus is nearby us and will help to provide us with the strength and the cover to endure that attack. This is what all happened at the Last Supper. Peter and the disciples were vulnerable. They were in vulnerable territory. Jesus said, I'm going to be accused, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be crucified, going to be killed. This was now a huge challenge for the disciples. Will we believe what Jesus said and respond accordingly? Or, in their case, what they chose to do was they said, no, this must not happen. Peter said, this must not be. And at that point, Jesus had a message for Peter, who was heading for a fall. And it was very important for Peter to be able to hear this message. And maybe he didn't take it fully in at the time, but certainly would have reflected upon it later. But we, with hindsight, can now read and what Jesus said and take encouragement that if we face a fall, I believe these same words can be spoken to us. First of all, Jesus got Peter's attention by saying his name twice. Simon, Simon. Interesting, he doesn't call him Peter, Peter. That's interesting. Don't know why. Perhaps you'd like to think about that. It could be because Peter wasn't really behaving like a rock at this point. Maybe he was thinking, I'll go and refer to you as the name I first knew you as when I first met you. Perhaps in a bit like, you know, when you're a parent and you're cross with your child and you call them by their whole name. Have you ever done that? Not their pet name or their half a name. You call them by their, you know, their full name, Elizabeth, rather than Busy in our case, or Joshua Michael Thomas, come here, or Glenn Stephen Thomas, as Elaine often talks to me when she's cross with me. She names my whole name, and she calls me out. Or maybe if you're a child and your parents aren't listening to you, you call your parents by their real first names. And the parents start going, oh, I'm your mother, I'm your father, you shouldn't call me by my first name. And you'll say, well, you weren't listening when I called you mum or dad. So they call you by your first name to get your attention. And maybe Jesus called him Simon just to get his attention. We don't know. Might give a little bit of thought about that. But he says, Simon, Simon. And then he says, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. And just a couple of things about that. First of all, just to remember and remind ourselves that we are in a spiritual warfare. Whether we realize it or not, Satan's knocking on that door, wanting to get a foothold. And sometimes we as a church can forget that actually we can be so enjoying the worship and so enjoying this or that of the Christian life, we forget that actually we are in a battle with the forces of wickedness. And so therefore we've got to be careful about giving the devil a foothold. Because it doesn't matter how spiritual we might be on a Sunday, the enemy can use us on a Monday if we give him a foothold. Just as Peter was used by two different sources, we can be open to that. It doesn't mean we become possessed.
Not suggesting we're all becoming possessed during the week, but on Sunday we are then delivered. Not suggesting that. But that we can be used of the enemy during the week if we're not careful, because he's looking for those who he can devour. Second thing is just to notice that Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Now, some people who live their life seeing that Satan as being so powerful and so awful that we're constantly having to cower under his power and his authority and oh, it's dark, oh, Satan's having to go, Satan. The Bible very clearly here says Satan has asked to sift you, asked. He has to ask permission to work in the way he does. Doesn't have that full reign out of control and God can't cope. No, has to ask. You read the beginning of Job, and we know all the whole story of Job and all the things he goes through. It starts off by Satan having to appear before God, and he asks, can I do these things? Or if these things were done to Job, then he wouldn't serve you. And so God gives him permission to do those things. Need to keep in mind the fact that Satan is still under the control of Almighty God. Otherwise, God is not in control of everything. So having presented the battle, Jesus then gives him this word of comfort. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Fantastic, encouraging word to somebody who's about to fail. He's not praying, notice, for Peter to be released from this test. He's not asking for Peter to be exempt from the test. He's also not praying that the devil be gone. He's also not praying for a basic non-specific prayer, Father, bless Peter at this difficult time. Instead, Jesus is very specific. He says, he's praying that Simon's faith may not fail. To stay strong in the faith to endure the test that he's going. Because he knows that people who step outside of God's will may, when they become to realize, they may be so overcome with remorse and sense of guilt that they might not feel that they can be anywhere near God anymore, or certainly not be able to serve him because God's, you know, won't accept you anymore because of what you said or what you did. But the truth is, our righteousness before God is not based on whether we are always doing the right things or whether, and then it's taken away when we do the wrong things. Our righteousness before God is not based on what we do or what we don't do. It's based on what Jesus has done and our relationship with that. We stand before God in the righteousness of Christ, and he is perfect. So we stand before God in that way as sinners saved by grace. And when we mess up, God is well able to say, well, I forgive you. Let's try this again. And in fact, our failures can be the means of us learning great big lessons that help to make us stronger. And this is what Jesus is praying for Peter. Jesus is saying that when you've fallen into sin, when you fall out of relationship here because you've chosen to defend yourself rather than the Savior you say you love, remember that my love for you is unconditional. And I'm going to pray that when you have turned back, not if, I'm prophetically saying when you turn back, for it will happen, I want you to strengthen your brothers. Because failure with God is not final. He had an ongoing work for Peter to give him hope. He's praying that his faith won't fail so that he will stand strong and so he'll help others to stand strong in their times of need. I think it's an encouraging message for all of us that when we might be facing a temptation to protect ourselves more than the faith which we stand for, or maybe we're tempted to go and do something that maybe isn't right, God wants us to listen to his voice, and he may want to warn us ahead of time before that happens, because then perhaps we can be prevented from that fall. Jude 24 in the King James, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. So God can keep us from falling. It doesn't always have to be that we mess up and then we ask for forgiveness and then he heals us. God can actually help us to not fall in the first place if we walk with him and we say, Lord, which way? And he says this way, and we choose that way, we're going to fall. If he says this way, he's keeping us from falling because he's directed us and we've chosen to go in that path. But even if we do fall, God is the God of grace. He'll pick us up, he'll dust us down, and he'll say, let's do it again. He did it with Jonah, he did it with King David, he did it with Peter, and he'll do it with you and me. Did Peter hear this message? Well, doesn't look like it, because his response to that was, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And that's when Luke says, I tell you, Peter, Jesus said, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know him. And we know that Peter did deny Jesus. We know that it caused him to weep bitterly. But we also know that Peter was restored, just as Jesus said he would. End of John's Gospel. Peter was called aside and Jesus said, feed my sheep. And when Peter wrote his first letter, I'm sure he wrote it with memories of this and many of his encounters with Jesus. And if you read through the first letter, you'll find perhaps little touches of it. I just want to finish by just reading the end of 1 Peter, where Peter, I would suggest, connects with some of the lessons that he's learned about pride coming before a fall, about the importance of recognizing we're in a spiritual battle and the devil is looking for those who he may attack and we need to resist him, but also the grace of God that's at work within you. Because Peter had fallen from grace, and that was great in magnitude, but God's restoration by grace was even greater. So just end with these words. On the left, the words which Jesus said to Peter, and perhaps how they might be matched with how Peter finished his letter. He says this, 1 Peter 5:6, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter, no doubt, was talking about persecution, but I suggest also it can link with falling away because of wrong choices. And I pray that we may be listeners of the Lord's voice, alert to the battle we are in, but confident in the power that we have because of Jesus, so that whenever we encounter circumstances that tempt us to fall, we will remain strong, firm, and steadfast, so that our faith also may not fall. Let's pray together. Lord, the week just gone may have been an incredibly good one from the point of view of things working well. Or maybe, Lord, we've come to this service, Lord, knowing that there were some things that we were involved in last week that maybe weren't quite right. Lord, as we worship this evening, I pray that we can put that right, because you are the great God of grace. And Lord, for this week that's up ahead, many things, Lord, we'll know what's going to happen, but we also will be confronted with situations that we hadn't prepared for. And Lord, every day in a sense is a vulnerable day if the enemy is knocking on the door. And yet, Lord, you say that you'll be with us. That means, Lord, we walk with you. You are like the one at the head of the army, and in you we have victory. And so therefore, Lord, we don't need to be afraid, but that, Lord, we can walk in the confidence there is nothing that can be thrown our way that would catch you unawares. And therefore, if we walk close to you, listen to your voice. You may warn us not to go left or not to go right. Give us the ability, Lord, to remain silent when we need to listen. And encourage us, Lord, to speak when we mustn't remain silent. When, Lord, people ask us for advice, that you will help us by your Spirit to bring words of wisdom that will be life-changing. Thank you, Lord, for walking with us. Keep our feet firm, I pray. Keep us on the firm and straight path, I pray. And that, Lord, we may enjoy this Christian walk. And that, Lord, we may fulfill the purposes that you have for us as individuals and together as a church. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.